Yeah, press that record button, baby.
Let's have it right. Did you want to mug me off?
If you push play, you don't make my usual hero.
What I want to know is, what makes you think you can come in here and mug me off in front of my pals?
Still driving to get my cock sucked.
1, 2, 3. Alley drinks.
Bit of a mug off, bit of a mug off.
This is the mug off, baby.
Oh, my Lord.
Mate, I feel like I'm getting mugged off. Like, I know I've got bad mental health, but, like, this sounds awful. I'm like, my bipolar's finally taken full effect. I'm like, I'm having a schizophrenic breakdown right now.
I've only got 2 snaps left.
You're going to get snapped.
By what? You can't? I seriously doubt it.
The audience on...
This poor man.
Dude, there's nothing better than hearing someone eating on a podcast.
It's dog shit awful. It's one of the worst. See, welcome back to the Mug Off. This is some back of house stuff we brought onto the stage, but we have a very special return guest. Still our highest number of downloads, I believe, for an episode.
Most popular episode of all time.
Andrew Wolf.
Well, mate, prepare to be disappointed, guys. It's the difficult second album. It's going to be a bomb, man. It's like you have your Nanette, you had Nanette, now you got Hank, some shit about a dog, you know, with no fucking...
Douglas, I believe, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, what's the other one called?
I think Douglas?
Hanky or something?
Douglas, right?
What do you call it? Hanky?
Douglas. But I think the first one was like woman's right and quite progressive. The next was just about dog care. And just random.
Natural progression, if you ask me.
Yeah. Well, we've taken care of the women, now the dogs.
Yeah, and then after the men who are below the dogs.
I feel like I've run out of stories now, so I'm just going to be like trying to be the cool kid making shit up. Like, yeah, King hit a police officer. He said, slow down. I said, I'll slow you down forever, cunt. Hit him. And you're like, he's lying now. He's making up stories, the fucking loser.
I want to hear more about this Copier King hit.
About this what?
About this Copier King hit.
Oh man, I haven't ever had altercations with cops. I have a lot of run-ins with bouncers though.
Yeah.
You guys run in with them?
I never disrespect a bouncer. No way.
Yeah, I saw
my favorite.
I saw my mate's nose get broken by one at a fucking scuba or whatever.
Yep.
And after that, I'm like, I'll never mouth off to one of these blokes again.
Mate, you know what the best move with bouncers is? Like when you're heading out, if you're not going into that club, you work them. Do you know what I mean? As you're passing by, so you can hang shit, because you know normally you want to get in. Mm. Now you're just like, you piece of shit, you think you're so good, and you basically just do an open mic to the line, and he's like, you're not getting in all night. I'm like, I was never coming in, cunt. I just lashing out. I did that because I was talking of bouncer runouts. I did that in King's Cross to a guy, and then they chased me. Have you had bouncers chase you before?
No, I've never mugged off a bouncer. There's no way.
There's no way I would ever behave in a way that would encourage a bouncer to chase me.
Mate, if you've had 3 white wines and you start killing in front of a line, you know, a line for a nightclub you don't want to get in, you haven't lived, man, until you've done that.
I mean, that does sound like a bit of fun.
Laughs on the street are worth twice as much as a stage, I reckon. Right. If you get a line full of people laughing at you on the street, that's fucking... priceless.
Mate, it's street comedy, and then once you've got them to leave their post, you know you've really hit home. Hey, once they're actually on foot,
that's the standing O.
Because that's what I was saying. That's what actually happened in King's Cross. Because I went to a gig. I always got intoxicated, which is normal, and I got 2 of them to chase me, but I didn't realise like all the clubs were linked up. So they got on the mic and then got bouncers from the other place to intervene with me.
Fucking
so I was
hell.
Running. I was running, but you know what he did? He threw a hit. He got me in the back of the head, but it wasn't like a full impact. But then I played dead. I hit the ground. I hit the ground and lay in the middle of the street. I lay in the middle of the street right near King's Cross sign, that code sign. And he was yelling because bystanders were going, what the fuck have you done? And he was like, I didn't even hit him that hard. I don't know what's happening. And I just lay on the ground. Limp, like he'd fucking paralyzed me. And then eventually there was like a group around, and then I did the jump and go, surprise, I'm fucking flying you cats. But there were police there, and they put 1 handcuff on my hand, 1 handcuff. But then I said, nah, it was all a big joke and a prank, and it sort of rolled on from there, man. So that's my mug off.
Oh, boy.
Getting hit in the soft part of the back of the head, going to ground.
Mate,
that's good advice,
but it's so good because... it's his worst fear. Do you know what I mean? That his king hit you and potentially killed you. And he's also, he's 500 metres away from where he's actually meant to be working. So it's a straight assault.
Oh, you could really ruin someone's day.
So when you're
mate, it's the best. It's the best move. But we've had it's just reminded me. Like, has Caesar ever told you? Caesar and Josh ever told you about how they hit me in their car?
No, they haven't.
No way, man. No, they not told you. Like,
no.
Out the front of my back then, I didn't drink drive, so just walk around.
Or now,
officers are listening.
Yep.
Well, that's what I'm saying. In Perth, you have no option. In Sydney, you can go by foot, right? Fucking so, a bit like, I was I was wandering the streets after Mike and Han hammered, and fucking Josh from Comedy Store and Seizure hit me with their car. Fucking broke their windscreen. Dude,
wait.
And they
walk me
they
through
mugged
this.
Me off. Dude, they mugged me off because I'm 100% sure. I'm pretty sure it wasn't my fault, man. I believe it wasn't my fault. And they charged me. They made me pay $700 to fix it, man. Because
and you paid for it?
I paid for it, dude. I was wandering on the street and they reckon I stepped in front of the car, and then Josh and CJ were like, holy fuck, because their whole windscreen was broken. And then when they looked on the ground, they go, oh, it's fucking Wolfie. Wolfie, what the fuck?
And you're playing dead.
Like, holy shit. But then it was Josh's mum's car or something. So I ended up being the nice guy and going, I'm going to pay for it. But I probably should have challenged it, dude.
Oh, I
think they were speeding, man.
Yeah. Well, let's just wait till the blood test comes out, the driver, and then see what happens.
Dude, I love it. As soon as you've done something bad, you find an excuse. Like, there's no way they were speeding. And I was like, mate, you got to check your speed, hey. You shouldn't be going.
As they both pull you out of their windshield.
I'm like, I don't want to get you in trouble, mate, but there's no doubt you were going about 80 Ks there, mate. You're probably going to prison for this.
You can tell from the laceration of my arm. The street.
Mate, so you guys you've never challenged bouncers. That's like one of the greatest games. Like going up to random bouncers and staring them up.
I've seen it go bad too many times.
Yeah, I saw a bouncer just snap a guy's arm and was like,
I'm not doing that. Oh, I saw that too.
I'm not doing that.
Was that at Tank?
This was in fucking...
How did they do it? Because I'll tell you how I saw a guy snap an arm.
Wait, maybe this is your story.
Oh, it might be. It was at a Tank nightclub under the establishment in the city.
Did they use the gutter? Your story.
They use the gutter,
I'm getting around telling your stories.
That's all right. I don't mind. As long as it's getting a bit of a run out there. Yeah, they just put the guy's arm over the gutter and just went snap like that and just stood on it. Like, cracked.
Holy shit,
big,
man.
Big tonguing guy. So, yeah. But, yeah, keep mugging them off, Wolfie. I'm sure it'll be fine.
So what you're saying are the ones in Perth are soft.
I was saying, the Australian bouncers are normally, they're more PC. Like, if you do it in Europe, you get fucked up. Have you because in Australia, they'll normally, honour the rules. Sure. So you're eventually no ham, no foul. We fucking, you go. But I did it in Greek islands and jumped in through a back wall. And when the bouncers get you, they dust you down. Do you know, they don't just kick you out. They go, come down here, pull you into sort of a back alley area and just start laying in. Yeah. Do you know, they're a bit
more aggressive.
You're
not the first Australian they've come across, I'm guessing. Yep. You're not the first larrikin.
No, but it's that sort of vibe where, when you're travelling, you think you're bulletproof because you don't respect the local culture, so you don't believe they have laws.
I've never done that.
It's going to be fine. I'm like, these are fucking peasants. Who gives a shit? I don't even think they have law here. And then you're suddenly doing a drug trafficking crime. You don't realise. It happens in Bali a lot. You end up drinking and then you realise, fuck, you can go to jail for a couple of years for drug possession there.
Yeah, I think so. They definitely look the other way.
Yeah, it's firing squad, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the Bali Nine went to high school with me.
Really?
Yeah. What?
Is he alive or dead?
I think he might be...
Two got shot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the rest?
I mean, I don't know.
They started a podcast, baby.
Yeah, man. Here in the... Fuck. More prison pods, if you ask me. Yeah. What are cunts getting up in there?
Fuck, when you're on the ground when he hit the soft part of the back of your head and you were face down...
Nah, man. He got me in the back of the head and then I just fell and sort of lay there.
When he walked away a meter, did you just go out the side of your mouth, bitch?
Dude, it was such a great moment because when you're lying on the ground, the excitement when you knew you're going to jump up, it's like jumping out of a cake. This is going to be so sick. when you hear him distressed, telling the other bouncers, I barely touched him. I barely touched him. You're like, and then you know how good this. And you like, hold, hold. And then you're like, surprise. I'm fucking fine, cunt.
Fuck, that really gets me.
The fucking Trojan horse.
Oh, that's good fun.
But dude, we've had issues in Perth because you'd always get them chasing you. Like, I've had them chase me through Northbridge. You know, like,
what's the issue with the bouncers or with you, cunt?
It's a bit of a common denominator here.
It's absolutely you. I was at a pub with you one year at the Exford in Melbourne, and you just walked over to a woman who was smoking. Said you just picked up her cigarettes and just took one out, and she said, "What the fuck are you doing?" And you're like, "I'm just having a cigarette," and she's like, "You didn't fucking ask," and you said, "Oh, well, okay, can I have a cigarette?" And you're like, you've already got it. And you started going, "Oh, okay, yeah, what's your agenda? What's your agenda?"
I was saying, you're always banging on with this women's rights shit. You know, just go the wrong way.
I'm
not part of the patriarchy. You need to chill out. You know, we're just having a night out. Chill out. But I actually just stole it. No, man, Cap's got a story of me like that because we were up in... Where does he live? Do you know where that golden guitar? What's it called? Like Toowoomba or
Tamworth.
Tamworth. We ran into him there and he saw me. Like, we had there was girls that had champagne, and then you just wander over and just sort of start necking from the bottle. Do you know? But there's nothing people can do. And you just grab their champagne and start spraying it and going, "It's a party, baby, we're on." Like, people don't know how to react because it's too late. You've already taken liberties. And then you're like, "Come on, we're celebrating. What are we celebrating?" And they're like, "You need to fucking go away." But that's my big issue, man, is I always look drunk. So I get kicked out of everything. Mm. Growing up, I'd be the driver and they go, "Mate, the way you look, you've had too much to drink." And I'm like, "I'm fucking driving." And then they would see me, like, they wouldn't let me in. I've dropped everyone off. And then they'd see me like 5 minutes later driving past in the car yelling and just assume that I was a drunk driver. They're going, like, "That guy could barely walk." And I'm like, "No, I'm just mentally unhinged, man. Like, it's actually how I normally am." But they would see me in my car, wave past, like, "You're not coming in, you're too drunk." Then they see you in a Toyota Corolla 5 minutes later driving past the line, yelling out, "Fuck you, you fucking dogs." But yeah.
I heard a story about you. I don't know, you can confirm or deny this, from a friend of mine told me, but apparently you were at Hairy Little Sister once and
Skinner
was there and you were really drunk. You started screaming at him, "You're living off a gala set from 10 years ago, you fucking hack."
Fuck. What did I say?
"You're living off a gala set from 10 years ago, you fucking hack."
To the Skinner!
I can bleep the name. I can bleep the name.
We'll bleep the name for sure.
Dude, there's a possibility because I do that when I'm drunk. Hey?
Bro, we were at 7-Eleven that
Billy
time.
Billy
And you kept being
Go
like...
on, sorry.
You kept being like at 7-Eleven, like, just some fucking woman was in there. You were right in her face just being like, "I've got pink eye. I've got pink eye." And just pointing, like, you were touching your eyeball.
What? When was this, man? I don't remember this.
Same time you were at the... It was the same night as you got ended up at the Exford. It was like... It was that night. I was in Melbourne. We were there for... You were doing Zone, I think.
What is it like, man, to lose days?
Dude, I have big issues with drinking, man. Who knew?
I'll say.
And I keep lashing out at Melbourne comics going, "They've got a grudge against me. I don't know why they act like this," but it's actually blackout slur. Like, I've been blackout drunk saying vicious shit to people, but I don't remember it, eh? Because I had it with Billy Darcy and we had a run-in with Arj Barker at the Perth Fringe. And I was like, "Fucking, we know you live in Australia now, you fucking lying dog." You know, like well, don't pretend. You know, he always pretends that he's just come over.
They all do. Like, I think Stephen K. Amos, like, is fucking in Adelaide or something.
Mike Goldstein's been in Australia longer than I have, and I was born here.
Yeah.
Goldstein, I don't even know how he's still got the accent, man. Yeah, he's been here forever.
Can you believe that guy's 55?
Who is Goldstein?
Goldstein, 55 years old. Fuck, he looks good, eh?
Mate, he doesn't actually. Have you seen him in lockdown? He looks horrible.
Yeah, he's got that goatee going on. It's gross.
He's got that moustache.
I love telling people he's a lot older than he is. He fucking hates it.
I would too.
Yeah, man. Sam Campbell does that to me the whole time. He's told everyone that I'm 52 or something.
Oh, my
and
Lord.
It just destroys every opportunity. They're like, "He's past it. He's older than Tom Gleason." You can't get it wrong. And I'm like, Campbell's lying, the fuckhead. But then you've got to lean into it. So you're like, yeah, I'm 63. Like, you've got to make it worse for yourself. Like, because I think you can get aged out in Australia, hey? If you're over a certain age, you're not getting an opportunity.
Yeah, really. You're out, yeah. It's fuck. You either got to be grandfathered in the 90s, you're allowed to be old.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's all youth orientated.
Yeah.
You fucking.
You've got this tiny window, man. Mm. Tiny window to get on the project. Otherwise, it's over.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude. I'm having so much issues with this sound. Hey, it's deadly. Do you feel like it's fucking?
Sounds good on our end.
Blame it.
It's great on our end.
Yeah. Well, you. You guys are lucky.
Oh, man. Trust me, it's not much coming from this end either.
Yeah, man, I was going to say, what do you... I've got to try and find more mug-offs for you guys. I've done the bouncer one. I've trashed my career. Mate, I don't know what else I've said to comics, man. Take
us through your Wednesday. There'll probably be four in there somewhere.
Well, how's... Mate, I was... How's all this been? Yeah, like, are you still doing a bit of a trading, day trading?
Oh, mate, like... I was doing well, but now, like, the bin fire no longer even has a bin. Hey, like, the last few weeks have been so bad. Oh, no. I feel like I'm being cursed by the universe. Hey, like, mocked.
Today's your lucky day. I know three boys with a bit of Patreon money looking to double it.
Yeah. What should we invest in?
You know what? You know what's funny is people seem to want to lose money. Like, you go on the Dum Dum Club and you're like, I've lost everything. I'm fucked. I'm living with my parents. And then you get DMs with people going, hey, mate, what's the procedure to sign up? And I'm like, what is wrong with these people? Who's getting a broker that lives with his parents? Do you know? That clearly seems that he's
a very unhinged broker.
Yeah. He's not doing
well. Yeah. And he's. He's in a gambler's spiral trying to win back his losses. The perfect guy to put your superannuation with. Someone that's desperate.
I'll always back a dog with his back against the wall.
Yeah.
You got fight in you.
Yeah, man. A rat can fight its way out when cornered, hey?
Exactly.
Man. Yeah, churn it into milk, Wolfie. Churn it into milk.
You got to churn your way through, man. Yeah, man, I was trying to fucking... What is the mug-offs that people have done on this? What's the worst one that people have...
Oh, come on, mate, don't do that to us. Come
on, mate. You've probably got the longest list of any guest we've had.
Yeah, man, but I've got way more, man. I was going to give you, like, early scams, but now the sound's so shit, I don't know if I can do it.
Oh, do it.
Because I've been bombing early on.
Just fucking hit us with the scams, brother.
Nah, man. You know what I realized? None of mine were mug-offs. It was just straight crimes. Like, going to prison for this shit.
We realized that at the time.
Oh. Yeah, a mug-off is a crime when you think about it.
And I'm in there. I'm like, how good's the crime? I've been shoplifting. I've stolen a car. And it's like, you're punching down and there are a lot of innocent victims in your wake. Like, you're not actually lashing. You're not actually getting a comeback story here. You're actually just a fucking sick prick with no moral compass. So...
And our highest rated episode, Wolfie.
Yep.
Dude, have you guys seen the Alex Williamson breakdown?
Brother.
How good was that?
Wait, we should play that at the start of the episode, maybe.
Yeah, let's do that for sure. Man, it's how good is it?
Mate, I loved it, but I don't know why, like, all the Melbourne comics were sort of jumping in as if it was freeing up a spot for them. Like, you could see them licking their lips. It was actually one of the best sets I've ever seen.
It was great. It's like, none of those fucking cowards would get glass for their comedy. Yeah. That cunt's out there living it.
Mate, there's nothing better. And I'm like, I don't understand why the audience, they're like, oh, protect the audience. He was just doing what he always does. You know what I mean? Punching down, being vicious. I'm like, it's fucking, it's great. More of it.
I can't believe the loosest Aussie bloke can't take a fucking heckle. Or like, yeah, he's going to kick you out in the fucking head and knock the cruiser out of your hand or whatever.
Dude, you knew that he couldn't back it up. You know when someone's acting like that? If they had gone for him, he was overstepping.
He can't. He can dodge a bottle, but you got to give it to him.
Yeah, he's like the mask.
Yeah, man, he dodged well, eh?
Yeah, some fucking.
But you know what the thing? The thing is, Melbourne comics, they think he's going to get cancelled, but he'll never apologise. So if you double down, you're fine. He'll be like, you know, he's basking in it, going, I'm going to do more of it.
Yeah, like, how is this going to get him cancelled? It's like, he just...
Cancelled from what? His own fans that love him and would definitely go see him do this again. Oh, you'll never perform to your internet fans that already love you implicitly. You're done.
Mate, but you know what it makes you think is, like, Why aren't we doing that? We've got to go the other direction, mate, man.
I mean, you know what I mean? You can't fight, that's why.
I nearly flogged someone at the store on the weekend for fucking similar behaviour.
You kind of are doing that, Wolfie.
Well, that's what I feel. Like, we were playing to a crowd that would never like us anyway, so we might as well lash out and go hard right. Okay. I'm taking a hard right.
So well, comedy's gone good in Perth then?
Yeah.
Because, you judge him, but he's got money, man. It's probably worth it. Hey,
When I was working at the store, he had his, like, live show, and then
yep.
he just wasn't there, and then his manager came in and was like, yeah, we got to pull the show. He's got family. Like, some personal stuff has come up. So, like, all these people, yep. like, double sellout show, all these people are coming in, like, 300 cunts, and we're just sending them all back, and they're like, what's going on? And they're like, oh, he's got some personal issues. And then one cunt just goes, well, what's he doing at fucking Future Music Festival in Perth? And he's just taking photos with fans. Like, it's like, he is the loosest is Aussie. So you can't knock him. You can't knock him for it. You can't.
That is so good, man.
Like, to me...
I reckon he's... His fans wouldn't even care if he didn't rock up. Like, it's an even better joke.
Man, I reckon he probably lost two don't that turn day. Up. He would have lost two fans. That's it. From like 600 cunts.
Mate, I would have loved it. Imagine that. You pay for Shooter Williams. You go down to Enmore Theatre. It's empty. And it's just like, you're being fucking ripped off. Eat my dick, cunts. You'd be like, fuck, this guy's a maverick. I love him, man. I love him even more.
I got a
babysitter. And he just said, you know what? I've taken your money. You want to fucking get it back? Get a lawyer involved, you fuckheads. And you'd be like, Shooter Williams is a fucking king. Don't you think?
On your Shooter.
Oh, I love the man. I love him.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I don't know why people attack him, man, because he comes from the original, like the sort of Kevin Bloody Wilson.
He's the first internet lord, I believe.
Yeah. He does all the guys we love, like Kevin Bloody Wilson. Who's the other
Rodney
one?
Rude.
Fucking Rodney Rude.
Oh, yeah, I love Rodney Rude.
The great voices of our generation.
Sorrenti.
The great racist voices of our generation.
Dude, I don't know. I think it's because we've done too much comedy. I fucking... That's my favourite type. Mm. Breakdowns.
Oh, yeah.
Racial...
Yeah.
Like, just the worst of the worst. And you're just like, oh... I watched that set about 8 times. And I was like, fuck, I enjoyed that. Yeah. Hey, he's really finding his voice.
How many times have you wanted to do that and not done it? Like,
I have actually done... This is why I can't judge him. I've done that a lot of times. I've done that at Starbar so many times I lost track, dude. I had one guy that I did that to, and then I did it pretty much what Alex Williamson did and humiliated him. And then the next week he came back to try bash me up. Like, but I wasn't there, luckily.
He paid $35 twice.
I did it. Yeah, he had to pay to come bash me up. But I did it at the Starbar. Do you remember that Starbar final?
Yeah, I was there with you, yeah. I remember that, and you started screaming. Oh, you tell her about...
I ranted for 10 minutes, and then I played dumb with Dante. I was like, I don't know what happened, dude. I just lost them. And it was like, dude, you didn't do any comedy. I was like, you fucking pig cunts. You know, they just swore for the whole show.
I'll tell you what he did. Because I don't know if you remember this, but I was there, and it was the same. The venue was like Sydney RSL. It's like right down the road from the Metro or whatever. And he goes, Will Anderson is down the road for $35. You paid $38 to be here. What are you doing? Get out of here. Yeah. Go to a proper comedy show. And just walked up to the booker and goes, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. I blacked out.
But how good was Dante? Because he continued booking you. And he was like, oh, it's all right, mate. Maybe just go easy on all that swearing and saying cunt and sort of threatening to bash people. But in my defense, before I even got to stage, people were yelling gay slurs at me. Like, because I was wearing some new trainers and there was already comments, do you know, before it hit stage.
I mean, I don't hate this at all.
That might be just your schizophrenia walking out. Like, who's calling someone gay for new sneakers?
I mean, new shoes, mate, like clean shoes, gay.
It's not gay. I got clean shoes all the time. Yeah.
I love the mentality of a guy who's paid $38 to be at a comedy show and is like, this cunt's dressed up.
How dare he?
This cunt's
man.
Got to be gay.
Yeah. But what are you going to do, dude? Like, you got to go after them. I realised that early on, don't you think? It's better than bombing. You'd rather do an Alex Williamson than bomb.
I think so.
Because now he's out. He's got out of the bomb scot-free. He was actually, when you heard the crowd, he had lost them. But it's so much better now because now you can blame that the few people in the front.
Yeah.
Saying, oh, it's a melee. I would have crushed, but for that. But the moment you... The moment you feel you're losing the crowd, you've got to attack some random victim in the audience and then make it about them and go like, oh, it's fucking hecklers or...
I actually...
that's the move.
I saw that video and tried to work out where it was, so I Googled it to see if there was a story about it. Turns out he'd been bottled earlier this year as well. The bottle hit him. This guy, it turns out he was attacking the wrong person. Like, I assume the gig wasn't going well that night. And he's just fucking walked out into the crowd and hit some cunt's hat off his head. And this dude got up and fucking bottled him. It wasn't even that guy. But when he bottled him, the bottle didn't smash, so... Shooters just picked it up and sculled it on stage and said something along the lines of, I just fucking sculled the bottle he bottled me with.
All hail the king.
In the article, it says the whole crowd just started shouting, shooter, shooter.
Jesus walks amongst us.
Dude, have you done that? I've done that a few times where you attack the wrong heckler. And the crowd goes wild and go, give it to him. And then you realise after that it was just some fat accountant two rows behind. And that's why he didn't react. He wasn't involved in the show at all. And you're like, you fat fucking beanbag, grow the fuck up. And then he's sort of, they go, no, he's shut him down. But it's actually two rows to the right. And you picked the wrong guy.
I suppose when you're that drunk up there, it's all a blur.
Yeah, man, it's all been a blur for the last few years. Hey, it's very upsetting to realise that I've been attacking people high up, but it makes sense, hey? Don't you think when you're drunk, that's your natural go-to? Is to go after like an arch or a Skinner?
But Wolfie, we all want to fucking mug off everyone that could be our boss, but you just can't.
That's what I'm saying. The vibe is because you know you're getting the bus home. He's going in a limo. If you put 12 bourbons down your face, of course you're going after that guy. You're so angry. So I'm living at my parents. I'm like, fuck this cunt. I'm taking one of his cigarettes. I need it. Yeah, man. But you know what I realized with the stories that float around in comedy? You're better off to double down on them. You know, never deny.
Yeah.
Never confirm, never deny.
Grow your legend.
It's like what Kinnison did. They'd say, oh, he's done this, he's done that. You're like, yeah. They say, I think, you know, you just escalate it, make it worse. Yeah, I think I had a knife that night. I had a knife. I had a hunting knife in my backpack.
It's a brilliant theory.
Yeah, mate, it's the best move, hey. I was trying to fucking think of my, because I think, I can't remember what I told you guys last time, because I thought I should give you like earlier jobs that I had.
It was pretty much
like
just
earlier mug-offs.
Just time as a financier, I believe.
So funny.
Your Epstein years, I believe it was.
Yeah. We really caught you at the back end of a three-day bender and you just let it go. I loved it so much.
Mate, it was a cornered rat just lashing out the last will to live.
We thought we'd never see you again. We thought that was it.
It was like Chopper, you know, when he admitted to all those crimes just before he goes under. Yeah, I killed someone in the green room. I did all this. You thought I didn't think I'd still be around now. Now I've got to fucking answer for these crimes. I actually worry, man, because I think I mentioned actual companies, which was so stupid.
We
took your government name off it. So hopefully...
Dude, but I was thinking about some of the earlier jobs because this started way earlier. Like we had... mate, because I was starting running through all the jobs we had and I remember my very first job was a mate was doing a pamphlet delivery round and then he sublet it to me and my brother. Like, you know, you get like 15 cents a pamphlet. Yep. He did it to us and he said, oh, he'll give us 10 cents a pamphlet. And we're like, yeah, that's beautiful, mate. And then we immediately just started binning the pamphlets. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's too lazy to check it. Do you know what I mean? So you just get money straight away because no one wants pamphlets in their letterbox. Do you guys want them?
No, never.
But I was saying that was like the first job that I ever had, which was basically getting money from a guy up the street to bin his responsibilities, just throw them in a bin.
Well, I don't hate that because he's skimming off the top, giving it to you. So fuck him. you know?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. He's trying to... you know that he's too lazy to put them in the box, so you're like, he's never going to check it. So if we bin these, we'll just get money and he'll eventually get fired, but we're not even involved. He's the patsy. It's like, we're the fucking pamphlets, idiot. Do you know, he was being a dickhead. He was dogging us. Yeah. Don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah, fuck him.
My mate did a similar thing, and you always get in trouble because there's like some fucking weird cunt in the street who says, I didn't get my pamphlets on Wednesday.
Oh, is that how they get you?
Yeah, because some fucking dork rings up and complains.
No, the only ones you have to put in are the Hungry Jack's vouchers, man. The rest, like, no one wants the phone contract one or, you know, the National Australia Bank dog shit.
This one was just for the local paper.
If I get another fucking plumber's fucking magnet, I'm going to scream. It's like,
yeah, I'm man.
Sick of that shit.
But do you know what I was saying? Like, the job that I had, which you was like the dream job after that, was a mystery shopper. Have you guys heard of when people do that?
Ooh. How does it work?
I fucking got that job, dude. I couldn't believe it. Mystery shopper. Basically, they give you money to be the mystery shopper. So you go to KFC and get like a full family feed and then you just review it. And like, I actually had that for a year. But the thing was, early on, I thought, I'm not going to fucking dog out employees. So then I just stopped buying the meals and just cashing everything and going like, Karen's amazing. I'm not, because you know half the people working there. Like, you're not going to go in and go like, he's not doing a good job. You're like, they're fucking killing it down at Glengarry KFC. Some of the best work.
I knew someone who had that job, but he had to go in and use the pokies. Like, he'd go check the pokies. Yes.
Is that what they said? Yeah. That's what he told his wife too, I bet.
Yeah, I just got to test this poker machine for
bit of market research.
A few days, whatever. Like, you had an allowance here to go in, buy a beer, play the pokies, fucking go out or whatever.
Man, we would always we'd always catch like Jerry Harvey in Disguisio at JB Hi-Fi and Leichhardt, just trying to like check out. Because you know he's always complaining about how like...
the prices are too low.
They were just kicking the shit. Like, they were just killing them. Like, once JB came in, like, no one gave a fuck about Jerry Harvey. And he'd always be on, like, a current affair. But you'd just, like, walk past and he'd be sitting down with, like, big glasses and, like, an old man's hat. And you'd be like, g'day, Jerry's like, how are you, mate? Just like, you just blow this fucking loser's cover.
That's so pathetic to crawl to your competition, incognito.
And then, yeah, 2 weeks later, you're complaining on a current affair about, like, yeah, their prices are too low. Oh, I love
shit,
it.
Man. Where's Duggan? Duggan's just left the room.
I've got a piss.
I'm swinging and missing. I tried my pamphlet story. I was like, I'll double down with this pamphlet story. And it's like, I can't hear the sound properly. And it's like, fuck, I'm never coming back. I'm sweating. I could never back up that last episode. I was always going down, man.
Are you fucking...
It happens at gigs.
Who do you think is
going to
help you
well?
Bury the fucking bodies, cunt, when you're fucking with all those crimes you've committed in Perth?
Mate, I love when you have the... it's the same with stand-up. Like, we did a show last week and they had the first show and then they had Unscripted, which was straight after. Do you know? And the first show went well and they're like, you're so good. You're this. And then it's a matter of time before you reveal the truth that you're a fucking hack. Because immediately after was dead silence and then they're all left and wouldn't look me in the eye. But you know what I mean? Like, you can never follow it up, don't you think? Like, to double up.
Same audience, was it?
No, but I'm saying, yeah, do you not find that when you get the same audience? Like, you're always going to disappoint them.
Yeah.
They'll be like, I loved you last time. And you're like, well, I guess I won't be talking to you after this one. No doubt.
Wait, so it's the same audience. You do, like, a showcase, and then straight after, you do, like, a showcase unwritten show.
So comedy's, like, completely back there in Perth, yeah? You're just doing shows all the time.
Yeah, man, I don't think comedy was ever here, but we're doing what we call comedy on a weekly basis.
Mate, who should we be looking out for in Perth?
I'm like, this is a musical parody and some sort of weird song, and I don't know what the fuck any of this shit is, but yeah, we do it in high frequency, but I don't fit. You know what's weird is we work so hard, but it never seems to improve. Like, it's like no one seems to learn. I'm like, I've been here for fucking 3 years and people seem to have got worse. I'm like, how can you get worse at this shit? Do you know what I mean? Like, we're doing 5 gigs a week and people seem to be getting dumber. And like more derivative, I don't know. Hey.
So funny when he's talking to his big Sydney friends, he's like, yeah, everyone here sucks. Yeah, yeah. I wish I was over there with you guys.
Dude, and I'm just praying no one from Perth listens. I'm like, just joking, boys. Hey, we have some beers on the weekend.
No, I'm just having a laugh with the boys from Sydney, that's all.
I love what you do, mate. That musical parody shit's great. You're killing it, mate. Everyone loves seeing a guitar on stage. Hey, the fucking room lights up. Can't wait. So I don't think I'll get back on there, to be honest.
No, you will.
You'll get your back.
Yeah, man.
It doesn't matter, dude, because unless they like you, what's the point? Do you know, you beg for one blowjob. Unless they suck you off regularly, who cares? Do you know what I mean? Like, you get some scraps from the table once a year. Like, how's it going to help your career?
That's a sentence you'd read on the back of a funny shirt. Like, why would you beg for a blowjob if you're not going to get sucked off regularly?
Dude, I had so many stories lined up for you guys, but then I've not hit the energy. Hey, I feel like I'm bombing. So I can't
you're killing it. You are not.
You're killing it so hard on this end of the Zoom. Man.
I'm thinking about that playing dead to that bounce. That fucking got me.
You know what? I'm like immediately thought, fuck, I'm saving these for my fucking Sure Thing podcast.
Dare, cunt. People need to hear them.
I'm like, you can fuck off. You're not getting my Big W story now, ever. It's going into my pod.
Why don't you cunt walk into an empty forest and tell it? There'll be more fucking listeners than your fucking shit pod.
Oh, mate. Mate, my pod is so bleak because numbers don't lie, man. And I managed to get into the Apple data, and you could see at the 13-minute mark, it virtually was a wasteland. Hey, like people lasted 13 minutes. And 13 minutes was just when I got winding up. That's when I started. It was Campbell that carried us to the 13, and then it was me, come at me, cunts. And it was just boom, boom, boom. Every light in the fucking village went off, and they never came back.
Fuck, I've been enjoying it. We've been, we had a go, and doing some painting and had it plastered from a Makita radio.
Well, which one are you listening to? Because Sure Thing's better, but the Circling the Drain's eating ass.
Yeah, I think it was Circling the Drain. It would have been, I think it was the Billy Darcy episode and the Cambo one we were having a lot
of. Oh, mate, I've got about five in the can, and I'm probably just going to delete them and pivot.
Yeah, we'll put them out on the Patreon.
I was getting some harsh feedback. I'm like, you're my best mate from high school. Give me a break. He wrote to me, it's unlistenable. It's unlistenable. That's one of my closest friends. He goes, and then he said, no, I'm just joking, but it is a tough listen. He said, I had to do it in batches. And then like when he was giving me updates, it took like 5 days. It'd be like a day's break, and then he's sort of 3 minutes in and going, zinger, love this. You know, like he drip fed it over 5 days. He couldn't stand the shit.
Oh, that's not good.
Just to be kind.
Oh, man. Like it's a cold dinner you got to eat. Yeah.
You know, when I knew the podcast was in trouble was when my dad said, I love it. You're really onto something here. And I was like, well, now it's got the kiss of death. There's no way. But it's obviously a failure now.
He's just saying that to encourage you to move the fuck out, I reckon.
Well, he's never encouraged anything, but that was the kiss of death. I'm like, if he loves it, then there's definitely no market for this. This is God.
I love it. You've got to go, son.
You've got something here, boy. You know what? You should quit the broking and get into comedy. I sense it's going to be good for you. I'm like, you fucking dog. I don't know, man. It's very hard to get people to like you, man, if you're not likable. Do you know what I mean? Because it's all a lie. It's all a lie. Do you know, I have to act friendly on stage, but when I'm driving my car, I visualize killing people, and I'm just like, I'm just not a nice person. Do you know what I mean? I have no empathy. I just see a granny, and I'm like, I just, you know, like imagining kicking her in the head, and I'm like, this isn't right. It isn't right. Why don't I have empathy for her? I'm like, just fucking die. You're over. You wasted your life. But you know what I mean? It's like, I don't think that's normal thinking. But it's the way I am.
I'm no scientist, but I reckon I'll give you the diagnosis on that. Not regular.
I feel if you've got that demeanor, you're never going to sell merch to the masses of Australia.
I wouldn't bother getting those shirts printed, Wolfie.
We love what he does.
What merch are you selling?
We love what he does. He hates humanity. He's the perfect. They're going to be warmly received. Yeah, no likability, dude. That's the problem. But I think that a lot of people have that. Like, we can't name anyone. Who doesn't have likability? A lot of my favourite comics, that's their big problem.
Yeah, Jerry.
They actually hate the world.
I'm very likable.
Bro, you hate fun.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You do famously hate fun,
Joe. You can't stand a second of fun.
I had too much fun in my 20s and I just can't.
No, you don't want anyone else to have it. You're the only man I know who's a boomer at 33.
Yeah, but I'll live to 83 and you'll be dead at 50.
Yeah cool.
Only to what? To shush more pubs. Congratulations.
Yeah. And congratulations on that.
what a great result. You live to 83 and if you wrote a book at 20, the chapters just go blank. Like there's nothing happening for 20 to 83 is just blank page. Last 13 chapters were just empty with Jerry eating muesli and doing fucking workouts.
Yeah, it keeps me regular.
Oh, I love the movie of Jerry's life. He had a big surge at 20 and then it was just fucking flatlining for the rep, but I don't know.
Act three is just him taking care of himself.
But I can see how you get bored of it, man, because I've lived long enough now that I hate everything. Like, everything seems like a cliche now. Do you enjoy anything now?
Bro, I'm loving life more than ever at the moment. It's been a hell of a ride this year.
I've been doing all right.
Yeah, he had one good day. Now he's
no, back. No. I'm just like, just in general, like, I've got a career off this fucking COVID shit. It's been pretty sick.
And this?
Yeah, I've been like,
what are we, Al Qaeda?
Yeah.
No credit at all.
Dude, you know that?
Most popular podcast in Sydney. Yeah, COVID really helped me.
Yeah, it was that fucking, I got to send that cunt in Wuhan a fucking letter. Thank you so much, dude.
Thanks for eating that pangolin.
Oh, my Lord.
Do you know the mug off you guys haven't mentioned is what happened to manscaping? Your fucking sponsors bailed you guys.
Wrong again, dickhead. They just re-upped for 5 more months. Yeah, sucked baby. In. Don't you look
oh,
stupid.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah
brother.
And we're getting twice the money.
We're moving manscapers.
We sold so many of those fucking things.
Man. I haven't heard you do the ads recently.
Start next month. Probably in this episode nearly.
Fuck, we might have.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
So you only had a break from them.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, this lasted long.
Everyone wanted to see us fail, but we're back, baby.
I thought it was going the way of your podcast.
Dude, I was loving it because I thought you would have had to return your manscaper. And I just imagined. They'd be like, not only don't we sponsor you, but we're going to take that fucking scaper back. Yeah.
The one or three you share, we want it back.
Good luck getting the ball lotion back. I've been jerking off with it.
Did they actually give you manscapers, all three?
They just gave us one, but we gave it a rinse when we passed it on to the next bloke.
I didn't rinse it after I used it.
Okay, this is troubling news.
I rinsed mine with my mouth.
Dude, you don't need a manscaper. You just use a cigarette lighter, man. It's easy.
Good Lord.
You do look like a man whose dick smells like burnt hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. can see him doing kung fu in front of the mirror with a lighter, can't you?
He shaves his balls with the same like mentality you'd like, you know, fix rope with. All right.
I don't want it. I like to keep it hairy down there. It's like a bit of a peep show, a bit of surprise. You peel it back.
Traditionalist.
Surprise,
like
what's under there? No, I assure you there's a dick under all that curtaining. It's a tiny little knob. It's a little treasure hunt you can dig for. You'll find it down there. There's a little nub. Oh mate, well, this has really gone fucking to rock bottom now.
Oh, I disagree, sir.
We're just eating up.
This is our minute 13.
Dude, the biggest downloaded episode to probably the worst received part of shit.
No.
Fuck yeah. I tell you, your problem, Wolfie, you're no self-confidence.
Dude, but you know what the thing is that fucks us up is, honestly, the sound is so atrocious. I wish you were on my side. Yeah. But I can't fuck it. I've done other pods, man. I don't know what you're using. Using a tin on a fucking string, man. I've been mugged off like a dog.
Oh, you're crazy for thinking that.
Is that any better?
Yeah, that's fixed it all, dude. Let me do that pamphlet story again.
Bullshit.
Get it going.
Has that fucking helped?
Yeah, it's blown.
Yeah, it's fucking 100 times better.
Oh, man, we just didn't have the volume up on our end.
You little cunts. Do you know how good it is now? You know what it felt like doing? It felt like I was doing a Zoom gig. You know, you do like to some geologist Zoom gig, and I was like getting no feedback, going like, well, this is fucking awful.
Let's do the episode.
You little prick.
Let's start the episode.
How's the mug off? Dude, I can fucking hear you now, you fuck. What the fuck? I got mugged off so bad.
Tell us your Big W story now, cunt.
Yeah, man. Let's hear the Big W story. Come on, boys. Send us home.
Did you know how hard that was to try to do that fucking mystery shopper story with no runner? Did you? And thinking that you guys were like, I'm like, Jesus Christ, I know Perth made my comedy bad. Fucking hell, am I out of touch, hey? I'm a blunt instrument now. There's no edge. There's no sharp.
I promise you, we've been losing it the whole time. Yeah, and dude, everyone listening is going to be like, what's he talking about? These guys are losing.
Oh, did you get
that? Mate, I cannot believe Jerry's done this to me. You guys sound great now.
It's been like this the whole time you've been complaining about the volume.
Let me just check my headphones.
The whole time you've been complaining about the volume and Jerry didn't check the volume.
Oh, mate, Jerry, I swear, I can't believe it. Even that King's Cross story, I'm like, fuck, I'm not getting any energy to sort of build up on it.
No, that fucking killed me.
I got King hit in King's Cross. I'm like, why am I not tagging this up? No one's going for it. I'm like, this is a good story. And then I'm like, do you guys yell at bouncers? And I'm like, fuck, they didn't even say anything. Maybe people respect bouncers. Like, fucking hell, man. What a thing, hey?
This is way funnier.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's worked out very well. Do you remember my Jerry Harvey story? Did you remember that one? My Jerry Harvey story, or were you just fucking laughing for nothing?
All I heard was Jerry Harvey, and then he went down to the shops regularly, and then I just threw in a laugh to the client.
That's mighty biggie, Andrew.
You're a pro.
And I thought you were saying something like, I just had to visualise. I thought I was saying he shops at JB Hi-Fi, or I thought you'd do some reference. So I was trying to fill in the joke. I thought, oh, you'd be saying something about that. Dude, it's actually, what a fucking relief, man. At least this will be good now.
Yeah,
anyway, I've got to make a move, boys. No pressure.
We don't blame you.
Oh, dude, because it's weird, because I was saying, like, I'd done other podcasts, and I was like, fucking, I threw in some cash for this roadcaster. I'm like, I can't be lagging like this. Hey,
hey, mea culpa.
Wolfie, do you want to close us out? This whole episode itself has been a mug off.
Yeah.
Close us out with your Big W story, mate.
Send us home.
Feed us, we're hungry.
Man, it's put to it can never work now. Because it's I'm reading it right now, and
I bet you
not a great deal.
I bet you it works.
Mm. No.
I bet you it works.
You'll realise it's a really pedestrian story. I'll be like, I worked at Big Dub, and I had a great experience and made it to middle management. I was head of Nightfield. Like, there's no story here. And I'm like, well, they were, you know, I did have success in my life as well, guys. It's not all a bug off. I was one of the best night fillers at Big Dub, and you know, I've got a certificate to prove it. So
this might be another all-time classic just for that.
It absolutely is.
I'm so sorry about that, man.
Man, the second album has been great.
No, dude, I tell you the best one, which was with Bouncers, was at the Red Sea. And what happened is the Bouncers, because I'm always look intoxicated because I was dropped as a child and my brain only works at 20% capacity. But they would never let me into the club. But what we did is we worked out in a back alley, and they would have like, you know, the pallets, or not pallets, what are the fucking milk crates, milk cartons?
Yep. Mm.
They had milk cartons out the back. We built a staircase, you know, with milk cartons, and then you could walk up that. So we created like our own entry. So we would walk up on that, and then you could walk on the roof and swing around the balcony and come in. But then they would just keep finding you, and it was like, you know, if you've got termites, they could never work out where are the cockroaches getting into the house. Like, you keep grabbing you and going like, get the fuck out. How the fuck are you getting in this club? And I'm like, another cocktail, baby. KCC. And then he'd go like, get out, get the fuck out. And then you'd suddenly just appear again. The cockroach is back. He's on the stripper pole now. We did this for so long, and he had never worked it out because it was high up, and we had like, it was our VIP entry, because we rather than climbing up, we actually made a staircase so you could be like, You felt like your own bouncer coming up, my lady, coming up to Red Sea, VIP entry. But we had some issues on that roof, man, because later on, we snuck up an esky there because we thought, like, if you get an esky, then we can get cheap drinks. Like, you just lean over onto the roof. But the issue eventually, it eventually fell away from me. There was one night when it was raining and I was intoxicated and I ran to go in there, slipped and fell and grabbed onto the gutter and sort of saved it. Like, I would have been fucked. You know, it was a couple of stories up. But the final payoff was when he worked it out. They finally found where the rat was getting in. The bouncer, one time, he was upstairs when I came in and he finally pieced it all together because I swung around with like a beer in my hand from there, you know, swung onto the balcony. He was like, you little fucking cunt, like, he got me. And then he ran there and I jumped back onto the balcony and he ran off the balcony onto the roof and started chasing me like I'd done. To tie it back to the story, I got him to leave his post, which is always a sign that you've done something special. And he chased me. Dude, like, you know you've done
final,
well.
This is the finals montage they play before the game.
Game six.
Dude, you know you've done something right when you've got a bouncer to risk it all and actually leave his post and potentially go to prison because he's no longer employed now. He's in a street fight with a maniac. And anyway, this fuckhead, he chased me on the roof because he'd been so angry because we've been doing it forever, like keep sneaking in and going like, because he often wouldn't find you and you'd leave at the end of the night and say, thanks for another great night, Barry, you cunt. I've been up there for hours, fuckhead. Like, you know, you can get you out. But so he chased me, but then there was the final moment, man, because I was running and it was like a Bond thing. He was behind me and then there was a gap between two roofs and that was when he realised, like, I had long since given up on life because I jumped. I did the jump and got away. And it's a fucking true story. And I got out of there. But then, yeah, that was the end of that club and we could obviously never get back there. But that was the final story of the ultimate bouncer. Because we had so many run-ins over the years with him sort of chasing and bashing you. And that was probably the pinnacle bouncer story. Compared to, but I think the worst bashing was that one in Greek Island where I got dusted up, climbed in on a tree, and dropped in, and then they beat the shit out of me in an alleyway. So. They actually fucked me up badly, man. I was in there and going like, fuck. Do you know what I mean? It's like being in a Rocky movie. I'm like, they're talking Russian or some shit. I don't even know. And they're like, Kalansky, Kalansky. I'm like, holy fuck. He's got hands like bricks. Fucking hell, man. I only wanted to have two UDLs and try to get a kiss near the fucking dance floor. I'm not a hardcore criminal, man. You're bashing me like a fucking a rival drug dealer. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I'm a Western tourist looking for a kebab. Fucking hell. Anyway.
Oh my fucking Lord. Beautiful. Thank you so much for coming on, Wolfie. It's been an
absolute this was favorite. Better, man. It was better in that last few minutes where I could get feedback.
Well, okay, well, so you guys, like, we'll obviously get you on as soon as you come to Sydney. With such
Dude, you know what's
fans,
so good?
Man.
This has become like Inception. It's a mug off in a mug off.
Yeah.
You basically.
It's beautiful. This could be our best episode.
Yeah, I really love that. I can't believe it was such
a
simple
You're talking
thing.
To a guy that's lost it all, and he thought, well, I'll pivot into podcasts. Hey, they'll get some momentum here. And then you have the volume at one and really break what's left of his fucking spirit. Where I'm like, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
Thanks so much, Wolfie. Hey, plug your podcast.
Yeah, plug your fucking podcast. Come on. What's going on?
The pamphlet story's never failed me, you asshole.
Maybe put that one in the bin, I reckon.
Oh, Jesus, Matt.
Plug it.
I was preparing that pamphlet story for my festival show, you fucking assholes.
Oh, man. Burn it, man.
Dude. Well, if you want to listen to us, Circling the Drain was taken out back and shot in the head, but we've got Sure Things still going.
Yeah.
So, and that's basically pamphlet stories with more momentum because I can hear the other person.
Yeah. And it's dead.
So we get a bit more run.
Dead at the Wheel. It's all social media.
Dead at the Wheel. But I haven't been posting for a while because I'm not in a good mental place.
Which is always the time to follow Wolfie if you can catch him on a bill somewhere.
Yeah. I'm just worried. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be funny anymore. I just want to attack. So yeah, you got to stay off for a while, you know, when you're in an angry sort of vibe. But I'll be back.
Thanks so much for doing this, Wolfie. We love you, brother.
Take care, boss.
Thanks, Wolfie, for having it on, man. Thanks for fixing the sound before it was too late.
Well, like and subscribe. Subscribe to the Patreon. Yeah. Tell your friends about it. This is a red hot episode.
Oh, actually, fuck. If anyone is due their Patreon artwork, just
reach out to
DM me on the podcast page, and we'll sort that out. I've got a bit of free time; I can start working.
Holy shit!
Yeah, Yazzy gonna fix you up something real good. All right, thanks so much for listening, guys. We'll see you next week. Love you.
Mug off, baby.